We found out just a few minutes ago that our prescription to the PowerPoint, we did not renew. So it's not working. I didn't know anything about it until about 15 minutes ago. Let's see. Do I want to go over here on desktop, Dale, and punch that like that? Are you there? Jonathan asked me, well, I'm going to be down here up there. And I said, I'm going to be down here. I said, I won't be very long. He said, just punch a true story up there for me. Okay. I said, I won't be up there very long. He said, good. So I'm sure he didn't mean it like it sounded. Because I come from the same congregation that he came from. All the parents is leaving with the kids kind of remind me of this story about this preacher. He's up there preaching the way, and wasn't nobody in the audience but a husband, the wife, and the child. And pretty soon the wife got up and took the child in the back. So it was just him and the husband sitting there. Pretty soon the husband got up and walked out to check on his family. He said, wasn't nobody there. So he didn't know what to do. So he went over and sat down and waited for them to come back. I had something similar that happened to me. I was preaching one time, and five people right in the row right here, older people, 80 and 90 years old. I was just preaching away. I looked out there, and they all fell asleep on me. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? So I just quit. A couple of them woke up, and I just got up and led the song. Invitation song, you know, I wasn't done, but, you know, I was leading the same. I'd done everything that. So I was sitting there, and I asked the guy, I said, what time do we start? One man, four women. I said, what time we start? And he said, whenever you want to get them, lead singing. I was 5 minutes late then, so I got up and led singing. I couldn't remember what his name was, so I couldn't call him leading prayer, so I led prayer. I served the Lord, I preached. And then when I quit, a couple of them woke up, and I said, well, it's time for the invitation song. I just sung. Right after that, they said, this guy came up, he said, you know, we like you pretty well. Put every one of you to sleep, but I wouldn't like it. He said, we want you to come. I said, no, I can't come back. I won't be back. I work too hard. You can't tell it. Jonathan said that you went to congregation. I did too. About 30 years ago, I'd like to tell you a true story. I was a young elder at 12th Street. Same where Jonathan was. Can I just get the true story up by itself? If I punch it down there. Nope. How do you get a true story just to slide up there by itself?
It is.
It is? Oh, excuse me. Not on my screen. Okay. Been so long since I preached, I don't know how to do anything except put people to sleep. I'm going to see if I still got that quality. That's the reason they won't let me preach tonight. They said, everybody's going to sleep this afternoon. No use you preaching tonight, Charlie. He said, they would be all awake. So I said, okay. But Crystal Young was the secretary there at this congregation. This is one of the largest congregations in Bowling Green. She called me all the time. She was instructed to. See, I just came out from being a deacon for 10, 11 years. We had five older elders. They didn't want to fool with this old building, so they put me in charge of the building and said, just do whatever needs to be done. Just don't bring it till we don't have time to fool with it. So I did. We had everything paid for. We had money in the bank. The old building, something's happened to it all the time. So I just, the time I got done being the deacon, we was broke. But boy, we had a lot of work done on the deacon, on the building. So I said, okay. So Crystal was used to calling me. It got so bad that we had to put a solid wooden door there on the carport. Put a peephole for it. She wasn't allowed to go out there. And 95% of the time she called me was for a handout. People wanted something. and I was self-employed, and I was down in the neighborhood all the time. That's another reason she called me. Another reason, too, cell phones wasn't popular back then, but I had a Motorola two-line radio cell, like it's closest thing to a cell phone, and I carried with me this big radio phone, and you could call me. She could had a number, and she'd call, and she'd get the mobile operator. You had to go through the mobile operator. The mobile operator number was 801. My extension was 789. She'd call the regular number, and the operator said, "This is 801." She said, "Give me 789." And she said, "789, you out there?" And I'd answer, and I said, "Yeah." She said, "Church wants you again." So I said, "What do you need, Crystal?" And she said, "Greenview Hospital called, and there's a guy out there who wants a Church of Christ preacher to come and talk to him." She said, "Can you take care of it?" And I said, "I sure can." It was about 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I had in mind that he probably just wanted a handout. So I said, "Yeah, I'll go." Lucky I went that afternoon. Sometimes I put it off till the next day and go the next day, but I went on. I lived out there in Eastland Park, right behind Greenview Hospital. So, back then, you had what you call a church directory. When people checked in, they put what faith it was and where they went to church. I got a lot of clients that way. I don't know what you call them, prospects, I probably should say, by going there. So I would go there. They don't have it now. You can't give out that information. But I'd go in there and say, "Let me see the church directory." And they give it to me. I'd go. They even had a stamp they put on the back of my car, pastor, and have a place where you park. So and they're familiar with me. So I went inside and went up to this girl, and she said, "Charlie, we got a guy up in the intensive care unit asking for a Church of Christ preacher. He said, can you go up and talk to him?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's the reason I'm here. Secretary Dari called me." So I go up there. I went up there, and they had a little room behind the main intensive care. I'll try to hold it down, Larry. I'm sorry about that. And so I look, and there's this guy back there. So I went back, and he had his back to me. Big guy. Real big guy. Some of you are going to recognize him, because I'm going to tell you who it is. But I don't see no reason not to. But he turned around, and I said, "Hi, my name is Charles Clark. I'm from 12th Street Church of Christ. And have you seen small kids just snobbing and couldn't talk and just grasp everywhere?" Well, he was hysterical. He was in bad shape. Couldn't get nothing out of him. And I sat there and listened to him, everything. And he's a grown man. He's about my age, a lot bigger than I am. So finally I got him calmed down enough. And I said, "What's your problem?" And I got a slides here of some of the things that he asked me and some of the things and how I replied to it. And I'm going to deal with that to him. He said, "Would you think God let me start over?" And I said, "Well, it doesn't make no difference what I think. It's what God says." And I said, "Yeah, I believe he will." He said, "I was raised by a Christian woman. Very high praise of his mother. But when I left home, I didn't serve God no more." He probably left when he's probably about 20. He's mid-40 now. And he said, "I haven't lived like I should." I said, "Okay." I said, "God will let you start over." He said, "How do you know that?" I said, "Well, I'm going to share some scripture with you. We can make a new start with God's help." That's what I tried to explain to him. With God, all things is possible. Don't ever think you can get so deep in sin that you can't start all over again. Because you can. He said, not only that, he said, I have two small boys that they don't know anything about God. He said, I was raised by a Christian mother. My boys don't know. Well, that's another problem. He was about my age, but his kids was younger than mine. And I seen his kids later on as the story goes along. So I said, let's keep in mind who we're dealing with. God is God. Psalms 139 says, you know, David's talking about God. He said, you know when I set and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. God knows everything. God knows your heart right now. And if you want to tell God that you're sorry, I want to start all over again. I haven't been doing right. God knows that before you even say it. So that's what we've done. I wound up spending about 2 to 3 hours with him. I knew Cindy was wondering about what happened to me because I stopped on the way home. But I was trying to convince him. The Bible says everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I said, you know what that means? I said, we need to take care of it right now. God already knows about it. Let's take care of it right now. Somebody I told this story to said, do you believe? Well, I don't want to say that because I'm going to be giving the story away. I'll tell you about it later on. I'm jumping ahead of time. So we're still talking. He's quit crying. Have you ever been in the presence of a grown man, a large man that's crying so much? It's hard to deal with. And that's the situation that he was in. Once you have messed up your life, is it possible to get it back? It's impossible to get it back. And that's what he's trying to say. I said, no. No, it's not impossible. Well, you could just see it kind of opened up and just like his sins was kind of floating away. He was responding to what I was saying to him. And I don't know whether you believe that or not. And I'm not going to take the Bible and try to explain it to you. But I'm just telling you from one-on-one. He went from the time he was crying to the time that we was holding hands. And I told him, I said, all I can do is pray with you and for you. So we spent about the next hour praying. I don't know what else to do. I was really went there and I checked before I went to see if I had any money in my pocket. I thought he wanted some money. Money wasn't his problem. So I finally convinced him not too late for us to make a new start in life. We can with God's help. Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Not self. And by the way, his name is JC. I said, JC, not JC, not Charlie, with God. He said, well, God let us do that. And I said, oh, yeah, I believe he will. I believe he'll let us do that. I wouldn't tell you anything I don't think the scripture wasn't true. Will God give me, forgive me? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. You cannot think of a situation that God will not forgive you. That's one of the Bible's most comforting things when you sit down and read around the Bible, that God will forgive you. Now I just had to convince him of this. I'm dealing with a Christian that was raised, and he had high praise for his mother, raised in a home, but when he left Got to. I said, you know what? We can fix it so you won't be guilty. Forgiveness by Jesus Christ. That's the plan that God has to forgive sins. Not guilty. Can you imagine? Here's this guy, and I told him, I said, you know, you can stand before God and he'll say, not guilty, JC. Well, that was music to his ears. So I said, what you do, we're going to pray and pray and pray and ask God, tell God that you made a mistake. Several mistakes. Maybe 20 years of mistakes. But you're going to turn your mind. And I said, you show repentance. I said, when these doctors and when these nurses come in here, you show them you're a changed person. And I said, when you get out of here, you bring those boys to 12th Street. I go there. He knew about 12th Street. He said, oh, I live two or three blocks away from there. He said, I will. I'll bring them. And I said, you know, the reason I'm at 12th Street, a few years back, I said, my wife is a school teacher and I was going out preaching and everything. She told me, she said, I'm going to quit going with you. Preach. I thought, well, she heard all my sermons. She don't want to hear no more. She said, no, she said, our girls need to go through the teaching program there at 12th Street. They had a program something similar like we got here. And I don't know if you've ever been walking around. See, I'm responsible for what get taught by this. So I have walked in those classrooms. Women are better teachers than men. Not only at 12th Street, but here too. You know why? One reason is they work harder. So I said, the reason I'm at 12th Street, because my wife says she's going to quit going with me. And so I said, well, I need to quit too. Forget about saving anybody else. I need to come back and save my own family. So I just stayed there. And I said, just a few months, they put me in as a deacon. And I said, we got women and men there that can teach. I said, the congregation, they're just superb. So he agreed to this. So I said, well, are you a lot better now? He said, why is God going to do this for me? Why? He loves us and he wants to forgive us. When you think about God, you think of one of the best qualities that he has. He wants to forgive us. John 3:16. He wants to forgive us. I've shared this with you before. I think I'm right. I don't know. I think when we get through Galatians, we're going to go to Ezekiel. I think it's one of my favorites. This is one of my favorite verses. So I quoted from 21 on down. I didn't quote the first part to him. The soul who sins shall die. You recognize that. That's the reason you're so remorse. Spiritually death. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. You're going to bear your own guilt. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon himself. It's upon you. And you're right. You recognize that. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, what they're saying is we're all going to stand guilty or non-guilty on our own merit. Verse 21 is the point that I drove home to him. But if a wicked man, I said, do we have any wicked men in this room here? He recognized who I saw, dude. I said, but if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keep all my statutes, does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die spiritually. I didn't say this. God said this. I'm just telling you what he said in his book. The most comforting book there is. God will forgive. Here's in verse 22. Really. He's None of the transgression which he has committed, talking about the wicked one, shall be remembered against him because of the righteousness which he has done. He shall live. I said, you know what that's saying? I said, you got any sins that you don't want God to mention to you? That was a dumb, obvious question after spending 2 hours with him. I said, we just want to get rid of them right now, and from this point on, we're going to serve him the best we can. We're going to tell him we're sorry. We're going to show him repentance, and we're going to get out of here. We're going to come to church at 12th Street. We're going to bring those kids, and we're going to tell them, those kids, about God and that they can get forgiveness too. They're going to need it. Every child's going to need it growing up. God will forgive you. So this is where we're at. Each of us can be a new man or woman, not punished for sins that are repented of. Forget about your sins. If you repent of them, you won't be punished for them. You say, well, you don't know what I've done, Charlie. I don't care. If you repent from whatever it is, he says, I'll never mention it to you. I said, how about JC? So he was really comfortable now. And so I left him. I said, I'll be back in the morning to see you. Went back the next morning, I think early. And I looked back in the room, he wasn't there. So I asked the nurse, I said, what room did you move to see you? Oh, he died last night. Wasn't nothing said about him dying to me, or the nurse said anything. He died last night. And I got to think, I said, you know, I was probably the last one to talk to him. But I wasn't. I found out later on I wasn't. He was in communication with his wife. She showed up at 12th Street Sunday. That was on Saturday he died. She was there. The usher says, Charlie, there's a woman back here with these two kids, wants to see you. And I looked back there. She was probably mid-30, maybe. Had these two little boys, 7, 8, 9 years old, something like that. So I went up and told her I was sorry for her loss. Told the boys I talked to their daddy. His last wish for them to come to church here. So I said, wait just a minute. I'm going to go get two teachers that's teaching your class. And I said, they'll come back here and get you and take you to class. Right after we dispersed from the auditorium. Fine. That's good. The next day was a Monday. I got another call from Crystal. Said, I forget what funeral was it. They want you to do the funeral. I said, oh, I ain't never done a funeral in my life. Yeah, they want you to do the funeral. Mom came from Texas and one of the sisters came from Texas. So by then our preacher was back. We had a preacher. He was just out of town all the weekend. David Tomlin. David's a young man too, about 20 years younger than I am. I told David, I said, you do the funeral. I ain't ever done one at that time. I've done several since then. He said, no, they want you. You do it. I'll go with you and help you. So we did. We went to the funeral, graveside, probably 12 people there at the most. I wrote the mother a letter and sent it to her in Texas. She went back home. Next Sunday, I look, and the mother and the two boys wasn't there. So I went after service. I went about 3 blocks away. I went by the house and looked through the window and knocked on the door. Wasn't nobody there. I asked the neighbor, I said, what happened to the people living here? He said, I think she packed up and went home. Never did find her. Never did see the boys again. Buried JC. By the way, he had a big, deep, baritone voice, and he'd done commercials on radio. He said, hi, this is JC from Walk Transmission. Come on down. and we'll fix it. Well, I said I knew him. I didn't know him. I knew of him from those commercials. I don't know where he owned Walt, just lived there or worked there or what. But that's who I was dealing with. So I wrote his mother and told him. And I said, if you ever find out where those boys are, if they're here and play some bone green, I'll try to make sure they get to church and train them. Never to hear. What's the best story about this story? Right now, it's not too late to make a new start in life. That's what I told him. When I left, he was breathing. I said, right now, it's not too late to start. And I'll tell you this story this morning. Maybe it's somebody here who needs to start a new life. We can do it right now. It's a good time to start. You can start a new life. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I told you it was a book of comfort. You got anything you need to confess this morning? It can be done. Why? Because God still loves us. Bruce is going to stand and sing the invitation song. I'm going to stand right here. I'll walk back up and you can walk down the line with you. I told you when I decided to stay there at Custrate and they said they want to put me up as a deacon. I thought, oh man, they think that highly. I mean, I guess I need to go up front and be restored. I don't know if you've ever been there, but the aisle house is probably 5-6 times as long as this right here. And I said, from this point on, every rest of my life is going to be devoted to God. God's going to know that I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve as a deacon. I'm going to serve as an elder. I'm going to serve as a preacher. And I'm going to do the best I can. I have sinned since then. As we all do. And that's the reason we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Now that's not very much trouble to do. To get remission of your sin. He is faithful who God and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God still loves us and He will save us. That's the story I like to share with you this morning. I hope it has a bearing on your life like it has mine. Bruce, it's yours.